In our text this morning, Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 27, we see Paul in Miletus calling for the elders of Ephesus to come to him. Oftentimes, when Paul went to an area, he went to the place where people were gathered, but he was on his way to Jerusalem. And therefore, he called for these Ephesian elders to come to him. And this would be the last time that they would see him, and he had some things to impart unto them that were for their own good. As is often the case, when things are for our own good, some of the things we want to hear, some things we don't want to hear. And this would be the case with Paul's discourse with those Ephesian elders at this time. Some of these things are the basis for our sermon this morning, and hopefully they will help us as we begin a new year of service to God. We have just completed 2013 and are newly entered into 2014. And so it's a great time to look back and ask ourselves a few questions. Did I make some mistakes in the previous year? I think all of us can definitely say that we have made some mistakes. We can look back and perhaps we can number a few things that we have done that could have been done differently and say, the next time that opportunity arises, that I will do better. So we probably all can, in unison, say, yes, we have done some things wrong. We have made some mistakes in 2013. But we also could ask ourselves the question, did I do some things right? Well, the truth of the matter is, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. We all find that we have done some things right, even maybe without trying to. And so when we look back, we say, yes, we have done some things right. We've done some things wrong, and hopefully the right things outweigh the wrong things. And 2013 was a successful year. There are many questions we may ask in looking back, and many of these have no answers. Many of those things are not provided for us. Many folks also like to look ahead at the beginning of a year and say, what might happen? What might come in a new year? But this is very difficult. We do not know what is in our future. We do not know what may become of us, or in fact, how long our future on this earth may be. All too often, people look ahead and think, well, I have plenty of time. I will do this, I will do that. And sadly, don't have the opportunity to do those things which they wanted to do. But as we get back to our text, Paul looked in two directions in this speech to the Ephesian elders. He looked backwards. In Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 21, we read part of our text, we'll see that he indeed looked backwards. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. These Ephesian elders could very easily remember that when Paul came to them, from the first day that he came, how he conducted himself before them. They would have no trouble doing that because he served the Lord with all humility of mind. He came to them and he kept back nothing that was profitable to them, even those things hard to hear. Notice also that which he was teaching, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. In other words, Paul came preaching the gospel. And how that this gospel could instill in them faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verses 33 and 35, we see more that he has said regarding those things which he could look back and count. Regarding those things which had been done. He said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, looking back, these Ephesian elders could also see that not only did Paul labor for his own benefit, but also for those that were with him. He did not want the church to provide for them. It wasn't necessary to do so because he labored so that they might have the things that they need and so that the church might not be burdened. But he also, in talking to these Ephesian elders, looked forward. And there's nothing wrong with that. Looking forward in anticipation of the things that are to befall us. Or perhaps looking forward knowing that we don't know what things might befall us. In Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 27, he said, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What Paul was saying here, as he was looking toward the future, he said, okay, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I do not know what is going to happen to me when I get to Jerusalem. But I know that at every opportunity, I will preach the word of God. I will do those things which God has laid out for me to do. And I also know that I will not see you again. But as he knew that he would not see them again, he knew he would not stand in the judgment because he had not done what he should do in Ephesus. He said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The world looks in two directions at the beginning of a year. The world looks back and say, look at all the things. In fact, there are news stories, passings of 2013. All the folks who have died, those celebrities, those important people who have died during the course of the year, they go back and they review their lives. Strangely, they don't ever have a column that says those who will die in 2014 because they can't foresee that. But wouldn't it be great if we could look forward and backward at the same time? Do you know that the month of January is named for the Roman god Janus, who was pictured as having a face looking one way and at the same time a face looking the other way? It might be good to have this situation. Perhaps if someone was chasing you, you wouldn't have to look back over your shoulder. You could keep running and look where you're going and who's following you at the same time. When we look at our world today, we can look forward, seeing those things perhaps that are coming toward us, and at the same time looking backward. That's what the media does. They review the old year and they speculate relative to the future, those things which might come to pass. We need to review two principal aspects of our past lives, and we need to see that these can either be extremely profitable or very much unprofitable. First, when we look back, we need to review our past faults and failures. And I say when we look back because we cannot look forward to see what failures we're going to have. But when we look back at our past faults and failures, we will profit if these remind us of how thankful we should be for God's mercy. As you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, stop and think about your past. Stop and think about your past year and think how thankful we should be for God's mercy toward us. As we read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 beginning, we see that Paul is writing this. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, was very thankful that he had been enabled, that he had been counted faithful to be able to be put into the ministry. Now, why would someone be thankful for being put into something in which he would be beaten, which he would be stoned, which he would be shipwrecked, which he would be bitten by a venomous viper, and look back and say, I thank the Lord for putting me in this ministry? It was because of what we see in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying in verse 15, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul considered himself chief of sinners because he persecuted the church, because he stood against that for which Christ died. But looking back, he could see the mercy of God applied to him, one who at the time of his calling was involved in the business of persecuting the church. He says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We should always stop and think and be thankful for God's mercy. All of the wonderful opportunities that come before us because of God's mercy. We will profit if it reminds us of the power that sin once had over us. When we look back, we need to remember the wretched state in which we once existed. The fact that we were lost. The fact that we had no hope within the world. And that had we left this life in that condition, we would be eternally condemned. In Romans chapter 7, verses 8 through 11, we'll see as the Apostle Paul, being guided by the Spirit, writes to these Roman brethren. And he tells them of the effect that sin can have in their lives, and what, in fact, it had one time in Paul's life. He said, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And sin is that very thing which separates us from God. And our allowing sin to control us is what separates us from God, and will do so for eternity. Now we need to understand that we can profit if we know and realize that sin no longer has power over us if we stay in the Word of God. The psalmist wrote, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It is his word which keeps us close to God. And so we can profit as we look at our old past, our faults, and our failures. Let us be thankful for God's mercy. Let us be reminded of the power that sin once had over us. But as we look back on our past faults and failures, we need to understand that we will not profit if it makes us have fond memories of sinful life. As you turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, we'll see words written by the Apostle Paul as he was guided by the Spirit, talking about some people who seemed to have joy in the fact that they were once vile sinners. I remember listening to stories of someone as to how bad they were before they became Christians. And they seemed to make it sound so interesting, so wonderful, that they were in such a terrible state. I don't know that they were joyous over it. But if we think of our fond memories of sinful life, we will not profit. Paul said, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." These people need to realize, and all people need to realize, if we remain in that sinful condition, our end is death. We will not profit if it makes us forget God's forgiveness. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, we'll see words given to us to remind us what Jesus has done for us. Oftentimes when people face tragedy, they'll say, "God's not listening." If the tragedy is great and their faith is shaken, they might even say, "There is no God." What a shameful, shameful situation. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We should always be reminded, even as we look back on our faults and our failures, that Jesus Christ came. He shed his blood so that you and I could become children of God, and that we might profit from it. We need always to remember. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, we'll see that Paul looked back. He was identifying the sin that he was involved in. He says, "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant in unbelief." Now, we cannot dwell on our past sins after they have been forgiven, but we needn't forget the fact that we were once in that state. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, we see an admonition to the church there regarding one who had been involved in sin. They needed to be reminded of God's forgiveness. He says, "So that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." When one is involved in sin and we look back and we see the sinful condition of our past life, if we dwell on it, we might become sorrowful to the point that we forget God's forgiveness. And we might find ourselves drifting further and further from God. If the man in question had repented and asked forgiveness, then he's to be forgiven. The Bible clearly teaches that. And so as we review our past faults and failures, understand that they can be profitable. Understand also that it can be perilous. Secondly, when we review our past service to the Lord, we can profit. We will profit if it makes us determined not to lose what we have gained. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 beginning, stop and think about all that you have gained. All that we have gained in becoming children of God. All that we have gained in our service to God. All that we have gained from the time that we were illuminated. In other words, that the light of the gospel shone upon our hearts. We need to be aware of this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, we see these words. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partially while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If it makes us determined not to lose those things which we have gained, we will profit. We will then understand that we have indeed gained everything. If when we review our past service to the Lord, it makes us thankful for what we have done in Christ, then we will profit. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul did this in speaking to the Ephesian elders as he commented to them regarding those things which he had done while in their presence. He said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." Not only was he available to teach and preach in this assembly, but also went house to house proclaiming the word of God and keeping back nothing that was profitable unto them. We need to look out into our lives, into the past of our lives, and see what we have done. Ask ourselves, is it enough? In Acts chapter 20, verses 26 through 27. Again, we see the Apostle Paul as he's speaking to these Ephesian elders. "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And you can read that two ways. You can read, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Or you can say, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And I think that's the proper way to read it. Because he declared unto them everything that they needed. Everything that should have been said to them. And all Christians should be able to say this looking back on their past life. From the time that they became children of God, there was a learning curve, a period of learning, and we should always be learning. But we should be able to look back on our recent past and say, "I have been able to spread the gospel with all whom I have come in contact with." Some can't say this. We can profit if it makes us determined to improve in the future. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We need to realize that as we go through this life, we need to continue to mature. We need to continue to grow. We don't need to be like those in the Hebrews letter who had need for one to teach them again, which be the first principles. We need to be aware of the fact that this race is not over until we reach the goal. The Apostle Paul, in writing to these Philippian brethren, is guided by the Spirit, says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press forward or toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is the Apostle Paul saying to those brethren, and by extension saying to us today? That you cannot stop striving. There are way too many Christians who are sitting back saying, "I've got it made. I've got it made because I'm a member of the Lord's church. I've been on the church roll for 10 years. Whatever reason and excuse they come up with, they think that they're good to go. When you become a child of God, yes, you have begun your journey to heaven. But that ticket is not punched for the entire journey unless you continue on that journey. If when we look back and review our past service to the Lord, we will not profit if we think we can then coast because of what we have done. As you turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 8 and also verse 13. We need to be acutely aware of this fact. There are those who want to sit back and say, I have done so much in the past. I was talking one time to a man about someone else, and they said about this older brother, you know, he's done a lot for the church in this area. I said, well, good for him. There's more to be done. In fact, Jesus, in talking to his disciples, said, behold, the fields are white in the harvest, but the laborers are few, and everybody needs to join together in the work. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 8, we see the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We see then the theme that's been carried throughout this parable in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Too many Christians are trying to get by on past accomplishments. These 10 virgins came and they all had oil. In other words, they had made some preparation. But at that great and final day, what do they want? I want you to give me what you've prepared. You know, when we stand before the judgment bar of God, we will not be able to look at our spouse and say, help me. We will not be able to look at our children or our parents and say, help me, because the time for help will have passed. We will not profit if we become self-righteous because what we have done. We must not look back and take credit based upon our doing only the minimum which was required. The minimum which has been commanded, and think that we have done enough. Jesus spoke about this in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. He talked about those unprofitable servants. They were indeed servants, but all they had done was just enough to get by. You know, we go through life sometimes doing that. I have to admit that when I was in school, I kind of did just enough to get by. Oh, I found ways to excuse it. You know, I'm a late bloomer. Well, it was quite a bit later from the time I graduated than it was when I started. And I found out it was okay to do just enough to get by. Look what Jesus said. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Notice that they had at least done those things which was their duty. When we look back on our life, our recent past, and we see that we're not doing enough, what should that make us do? It should make us want to do more. We will not profit if we have done only that which we were commanded to do. We will not profit if we compare what we have done with what others have done. We see this all the time as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. This is a real mistake, because when we do this, what we are doing is we are beginning to use that which others have done as the standard. Stop and think about it. They might say, well, nobody else studies any more than I do. Or I study as much as Sister so-and-so. Or I work as hard in the kingdom as Brother what's-his-name. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, we see what the Apostle Paul provided to us in these inspired words. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. When we do this, we have not profited, because what we have done is lowered the bar. God's word at that point ceases to be the standard. God's word must always be the standard. Let's take a good look back. We are not that far into 2014 that we couldn't look back into 2013 and ask ourselves a few important questions. Let's ask ourselves, have my past sins been forgiven? If you have not repented of those sins, they have not. Ask yourself the question, have I been faithful in the past? Am I continuing to be faithful? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, we'll see a message to the church at Ephesus. Stop and think about it. Who was it that Paul was talking to in our text? He was talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. The words to the angel of the church at Ephesus are as follows. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They had already stumbled and fallen to the point that they were in danger of losing for eternity. Have I been faithful in the past, but for some reason have become unfaithful? It's a valid question. It needs an answer. Am I thankful for all that I have in Christ? We might very well stop with the question at this point. Am I thankful? So many people are not. And then finally, am I determined not to revert back to the old life of sin? We cannot continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. As we ask ourselves these questions, we're no longer looking back. We need to look forward, and we need to make the changes in our lives so that we might live 2014 and come out on the other side better than 2013. There are some things that we need to know if we've not obeyed the gospel. There are some things that we need to know and we need to do if we have obeyed the gospel and allowed sin to come between us and God. Those who have not obeyed the gospel need to hear according to Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Need to believe according to John verse 8:24. Repent, Acts 17:30. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. And to be baptized, Acts 22 and 16. As we are children of God, we need to realize that once we have started the journey, we must continue the journey. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see the awful fate of one who has not lived faithful until death. The latter end is worse with him than the beginning. If that is our case, then we need to apply the second law of pardon. What is that? It's found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Yes, it's okay to look back, to review our past, but let's learn from it, let's profit from it, and let's make 2014 a better year. If you need to respond to the gospel invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.